Last time, we looked at the hard hearts of the Pharisees. This time we will be seeing the holy heart of the Lord Jesus Christ, how it stands out in striking contrast to those hard hearts of the Pharisees. Let us look at Mark 3, verse 3. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Jesus knows what the Pharisees are up to. He knows that this whole thing is designed as a trap to ensnare him. But Jesus also knows that this man needs healing. And Jesus is determined to do the right thing regardless of the personal cost. So he tells the man to step forward or to stand forth, some translations have. Jesus calls him to come and stand before the whole crowd. What he's about to do will not be done in the corner. Jesus wanted everyone present to see the power of God at work. By the way, that is his intention in your life and mine. Whether he calls you to come to him for salvation or if you're walking with him day by day, he wants to use your life to display the glory of God. When the Lord saves a soul, he does so for his own glory. And he expects that saved person to stand forth and to give testimony to the work of God, what God has done in their hearts. That's why Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, if you confess with your mouth, you're standing forth. You're stepping forward. You're letting all people know, yes, I am a child of God. Yes, I'm all in with Jesus Christ. If you're saved, the Lord is determined to use your life for his glory. You are a walking advertisement to the power of God to change lives and to make lost people into new creatures for the glory of God. Look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 10. This is the reason why the Lord has saved us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We've been prepared for good works. We are his workmanship. It is for all to see. We're to stand forth for all to see. Philippians 1, verse 27. This is Paul writing to the Philippians, and he says, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." People standing forth, people stepping forth, stepping forward. He wants us to stand forth and show a lost world what the power of God looks like in the life of a person. Look at verse 4 of Mark 3. And then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. Jesus confronts the obvious hypocrisy of the Pharisees by asking them two simple, straightforward questions. Is it lawful to do good or evil on the Sabbath? It is lawful to save a life or to take a life? William Barclay gives us some insight into the mindset of the Jews regarding medical treatment on the Sabbath. medical attention could be given only if a life was in danger. To take some examples, a woman in childbirth might be helped on the Sabbath. An infection of the throat might be treated. If a wall fell on anyone, a knife might be cleared away to see whether he was dead or alive. If he was alive, he might be helped. If he was dead, the body must be left until the next day. A fracture could not be attended to. Cold water might not be poured on a sprained hand or a foot. A cut finger might be bandaged with the plain bandage, but not with ointment. That is to say, at the most, an injury could be kept from getting worse, but it must not be made better. You talk about how people's rules and regulations get crazy. The man Jesus is facing would have been no worse off to have waited until the next day for healing, but the Lord. But for the Lord, this was an opportunity to address the hypocrisy of their belief system. I also happen to believe that calling the man to the front of the crowd and asking these questions was all an effort to awaken sympathy in the hearts of the Pharisees. Jesus was using this moment to try and touch their hearts. Still trying, still hoping that these people would repent. Look in verse 5 of Mark 3. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. When they refused to answer his question, notice, Jesus became angry. The word angry comes from a word that was used to describe sap rising in a tree. It is the idea of anger that builds and builds until there's a release of emotion. The longer Jesus sat in that service with the hard-hearted Pharisees, the angrier he became. This is the only explicit reference to his anger in the Gospels. There's nothing wrong with anger as long as you are angry over the right things, in the right moment, and in the right way. Some righteous anger against sin and evil would serve the church well in these politically correct anything-goes days. What was it that made Jesus so angry? First, he's angry because their hearts have become so hard, so callous. They have continually refused to acknowledge the power and presence of God, and he is offended. Secondly, he's angry because they have more concern for their man-made rules than they do for a man who needs help. Does that describe you? We are also told that he was grieved. This word means to feel pain or sorrow. Their attitude towards their fellow man broke the Savior's heart, and it made him angry. I would venture to say that it still grieves our Lord and makes him angry when people refuse to hear the truth and do what is right. Look at your own life right now. Look at our own lives right now. Does the Lord have reason to be grieved with us? Are you turning a deaf ear to the truth? Are you turning a deaf ear to the truth? You know what the truth is. Do you refuse to hear his voice? Have you allowed your heart to become callous towards the needs of others? Is your life all about yourself? Or is it all about others? Does it bother you that people are headed to hell? Do you care that your fellowship with the Lord is not what it ought to be? Does it bother you to know that your own heart is growing harder and harder by the day? Jesus Christ wants to help you. You hear his voice today, heed what he's telling you. Look at the compassion that we see in Mark 5. In Mark 5, he says to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. In spite of their attempt to trap him, Jesus tells the man to stretch out his hand. And when he did, it was healed. In spite of his anger at the hypocrisy, Jesus still had compassion on the man with the withered hand. Jesus didn't come to this world to get caught up in religious debates over the keeping of man-made rules. Jesus came to this world to extend compassion to those who need help. Church, universal church, do you think it's about time that we show some compassion to people? That we show compassion to one another? Do you think it's time to extend compassion? This poor man needed help. And Jesus Christ could help him, and he did. Remember this. Every one of us was in sad shape one day. I didn't have a withered hand, but I had a withered soul. I was dead towards God and spiritually paralyzed. Jesus had compassion on me and brought life to my soul. Thank God that he loved me when I was unlovable and that he was willing to save me by his grace in spite of what I was. Do you remember when the Lord came and had compassion on you? Have you forgotten his tenderness and his compassion and his mercy towards you? Have you gotten all wrapped up in quote-unquote church life? Rules and regulations, and I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do that, I got to do everything but be compassionate. Have you fallen away from being compassionate? Don't let a few religious hypocrites keep you from being compassionate. We see those that was hard-hearted. We've seen the holy heart of the Savior. And now we look at the hearts of some people that the Lord was moving in their lives. In Mark 3, verse 10, "For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him." He healed many. So that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. What did the people see in Jesus? The people saw what he had done for others and believed by faith that he could do the same for them. It's no different today. You look at others, what God has done, what Christ has done for others. And by faith, simply believe that he can do the same for you. What did they seek from Jesus? These great multitudes pressed upon him because they wanted to experience his healing power. They wanted his power to be unleashed in their lives. These people wanted their lives to be changed, and they saw the potential for that in the person of Jesus Christ. Press upon him. Press upon Christ. He can change your life. That can. He will. For if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things have become new. The old has passed away. All things have become new. The people pressed upon him to touch him. While the religious leaders were plotting to kill Jesus Christ, the common man was spreading the word about him. Everywhere across the nation of Israel, the people were talking about the man from Galilee. In verse 11, it says, even the evil spirits were talking about Jesus Christ. Christ rebuked the demons in the text. He didn't allow Satan and the demons to determine the movement and timing of his ministry. Here's the point. Uneducated common people and even demons had more sense than the religious leaders of the day. Because somebody has a title in front of their name or after their name doesn't necessarily mean that they know the gospel and know Jesus Christ. The religious people saw Jesus as a threat. The average person of the day saw Jesus as one who offered them hope. Stop looking to Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, New York City, Rome, and some other great and glorious place or some great and glorious person to find your hope. Your hope is to be found in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. There's never been a man like Jesus Christ. Nor has there ever been a God that would become man except for Jesus Christ. What do you need in your life today? Do you need salvation? Do you need forgiveness? Do you need a fresh start? Do you need cleansing from sin? Do you need help in some area of your life? What do you need? What do you see when you look at Jesus? Do you see a poor fellow who got himself crucified on the cross? Do you see a man with strange ideas who went around preaching love and doing good? Or do you see the Savior? Do you see a man who died for your sins and who calls you to come to him for the help that you need? Do you see in Jesus the hope and help of your soul? Who do you see Christ as? In closing, let me tell you of a story that A.W. Tozer used to tell of a governor from a Midwestern state who disguised himself and went into prison for a day to learn of the conditions. While speaking with a likable young convict, he felt a strong desire to pardon him. He asked the convict, "What would you do," he asked casually, "if the governor were to offer you a pardon?" The convict said, "The first thing I'd do is cut the throat of the judge who sent me here." The governor was saddened as he broke off the conversation and left. That convict stayed in his cell. What was his problem? He had been convicted, but he had allowed his heart to become hard. He could not be helped because of a hard heart. What is the Lord telling you today? Is he calling you to come to Jesus Christ to be saved? If so, then come. And do not harden your heart any harder. Is he calling you to repent of some sin and to turn back to Jesus Christ? If so, then you come and do not harden your heart. Is he calling you to be more like Jesus in your compassion towards the lost and needy? If so, then come and do not harden your heart. Regardless of what he's calling you to do, you come and you do it. Hardening your heart is a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Very serious. Is he calling you? Then heed his voice and do whatever it is that he's calling you to do. The Lord would simply say to you, as he did with the man with the withered hand, step forward. Stretch out your hand. Whatever it is that you need healing from, step forward and stretch out your hand, and you will be healed.